Hey there, it's Lacey J from Space Bear Media, the makers of Lost in My 40s. Did you know that you can go to spacebearmedia.com right now to access all our content, including our weekly video pre-shows, where your hosts ponder ethical questions related to the week's episode and answer some fun questions just for, well, fun. Speaking of fun, if you have it thanks to our content, please consider rating or reviewing Lost in My 40s on your favorite app or recommend us to a friend who loves Lost. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Lost in My 40s. Season 2, Episode 2. Glad you joined us after Episode 1. How's everybody doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. The boys aren't talking. All right, so...
I'm good.
This week, it's Michael's episode, and Ben is going to present it to us. It's called Adrift. But first, Ben, where are our rankings after episode one of season two?
After episode one of season two, we had Jack and Kate tied for first place. Locke holding up second place and Desmond in the third slot. Let's see, for the
arguably the best character of the whole show.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry. Who's in the bottom there, Benjamin?
Who's in the bottom? Giggity. that would be last week. It would be Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy.
You know what? It's been a while since we recorded this. Who the hell was Kevin? I can't even remember now. You're like, fuck that guy. Shit. But I'm like, yeah, fuck him. Wait, who is he? Either way, he left a bad taste in our mouth. He was so forgettable and so despicable, he's already gone. So yeah. I guess it doesn't matter. In second place was Shannon. And then in third place was Jack's wig.
Guys, I know who Kevin is.
He's the douchebag.
He's the fiancé of Sarah.
That's it.
What the fuck? See,
we did take a little break from recording, but like,
if you're gonna be a douchebag, at least be memorable, like Randy Douchebag Nations.
I thought that his name was Greg.
Nope, it was Kevin.
No, it was Kevin.
Okay,
I know. Like, this is 100% certain because the notes from episode one are still sitting here on my desk. So I just grabbed them and looked up. Oh fuck! All right, so Ben, do you want to take us on a boat ride?
Well, it's kind of a spoiler, don't you think?
Well, it's called Adrift. It's literally called Adrift.
Well, I mean, and we know they're on a boat.
Well, they were.
Well,
they blew it up.
Oh, man, you guys keep spoiling everything. Okay.
No, that happened last episode.
Oh, boy. Is this going to be another one of these?
Episode two. Now I'm gonna keep us on track. I'm gonna keep us on course, not on track. On course.
Oh, wow. Course. Ooh-hoo.
Yeah. We're gonna get nautical. Anywho.
My God.
Yeah, I know. I can't even stop. So we start with the sound of bubbling water. And Sawyer emerges from the water and it's dark. Obviously, they're still at the spot where the others had absconded with Walt.
Can I just say that I love that they like make us relive this day all over again.
Yeah, there's a bunch of mini flashbacks throughout this episode that are
right,
like,
and this kind of like this running concurrent to what episode one did, and so it's like I feel like it's a way to tease us to like not it's like forwarding the plot but not forwarding it the way that you know we had hoped at the end of episode one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's building up the tension by giving you like slightly different perspectives of the same things multiple times.
And that happens
but Michael
more.
Keeps screaming for Walt I know, over Walt. And over.
Coral. Oh my God.
Coral.
Jesus Christ.
Reliving of time happens more in this season. We won't talk about it because Derek hasn't watched it yet, but it becomes a little bit of a theme through this season. Anyway.
Anyway.
on the raft.
Okay. We hear Walt and Michael yelling for one another. We hear... No. Was Walt yelling here? No.
No,
we hear
Walt was
Michael
gone.
Yelling for Walt.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Michael was Walt's screaming gone. And... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then
it's
Sawyer...
It's pretty gut-wrenching, too.
Yeah.
It is. It is. And I thought you heard Jin shouting somewhere, too, but you don't see him.
That's... Yeah. Yeah, it's like you know that he is alive at least at some point right after this yeah. happened, and then he just kind of disappears. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sawyer swims toward this kind of section of raft that's still afloat and then starts like swimming with that towards Michael. He pulls Michael onto the raft, but Michael's not responding. So in traditional fashion in the show, Sawyer just starts beating the shit out of his chest. And, you know, it makes really, really amazing sense. It did. It did.
And can I just say that this scene is further proof that Jack could have fit on that fucking door with Rose.
Yes.
You know?
Don't ever let go.
Yeah. Let go. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I still saw that in the theater. It was in the Dollar Theater at one point in the town where I like went to high school. And I must have gone and saw that like 5 times.
That was the only movie I've ever seen in a theater by myself.
Really?
Everyone else had seen it, and I just went to see it. But
I saw it so
the
many
boat
times.
Still sank.
Oh, it did yeah. every time, yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
I
that's
saw Showgirls
a weird plot
by myself,
hole, isn't it?
Like 15
What'd you
times.
Say,
what in like a adult theater with a trench coat? Floors are sticky.
Oh no!
See Pee Wee Herman.
I mean, that would be cool though.
All right. We're right. off to a roaring start here.
Way off track.
Then we go to our first sort of mini flashback where Locke is at the hatch and he is screaming for Kate and kind of looking down the passageway. And of course, like always, he's surrounded by a bunch of perfectly, you know, built torches, just arrayed amazingly around the area. And then Locke starts to descend the shaft.
Oh, hello.
Of course. Hello.
Do you think there was like a torch guy on like the set of the show? Like that was their job, was just to make sure all the torches were in place. That'd be
yeah, probably. I'm sure there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got their armor, then they've got their torch guy, you know.
Do you think he was a white supremacist?
Oh God.
I don't,
just like a collection of
torches are different than crosses.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. 2004, that didn't become like a thing until what 5
yeah,
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, there were no white supremacists yeah. until like this last
well, there
year.
Were. They yeah.
weren't
yeah, carrying torches.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they weren't carrying torches.
The torch
oh,
thing happened.
Yeah, the torch thing was in 2016.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were there like fine people on both sides?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, God, yeah, I remember that.
Oh Jesus. All right. Fuck, guys, we're like 5 sentences in.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We just, that was the title screen, by the way, that we were just talking
no.
over. So back to the raft, Sawyer is trying to revive Mike, giving him CPR. Eventually, Michael comes around and immediately starts asking where Walt is. You'll notice this is a theme for a while.
Yeah, well.
And this takes us to our first kind of bona fide flashback. We're at a lawyer's office, and this lawyer is asking Mike how he hurt his leg. And then shows him some papers and basically says, you know, these are the papers that your wife sent over. That your wife sent over, and Mike kind of corrects him and says, well, I'm Walt's mother, but
baby mom.
He's Walt's mother. I think he's Walt's
he
father.
Is father. She's yeah. Walt's mother, whatever, you know, it's early.
Booth.
Papers
Booth,
from
exactly.
your baby mama.
And then the lawyer calls him by the wrong last name, which I thought was an amazing moment. And
yeah, yeah, that tells you how engaged he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the lawyer says that Susan wants Mike to relinquish his rights to Walt so that Brian can adopt him, or so that Brian and she can adopt him. And he gives Michael a couple options, and Michael kind of jumps at the option of an injunction. I don't know. What do you do? Do you file an injunction? Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Okay. File.
Okay. And then the lawyer tells Mike that the fact that he's in his office, that he's in this lawyer's office, means that he's the best that Mike can afford. And then he sort of, which is sort of a warning sign. Yeah. And then he's like, because this is going to get expensive. Well, I mean, at least he's honest. He's like, look.
Yeah. That's true.
And we go back to the raft. Mike is still yelling for Coral. Coral. So Sawyer tells him that Walt was taken on a boat, and so he probably can't hear Mike screaming. And then Mike tells Sawyer back that he needs to think that Walt can hear him.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. I generally don't, you know, whatever, Michael, but I got a feel for him, you know, at least a little bit, even though I do get tired of him constantly screaming for Walt.
I do too, but he was finally starting to come around as a dad, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Almost the entirety of season one, he was a shit father. And now towards the end of season one, he's like, okay, I have a son. This is not a terrible thing. You know, like he starts to really bond with Walt. And then
that's why they ripped him out of his arms.
Exactly. Because
it's fucking Lost.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
And they give you that like nugget, and then they break your heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the plot of the show, basically.
And I imagine when Harold Perrineau shows up on set for this, you know, he played Mercutio. He's done all kinds of great roles. He was in Oz or whatever.
Yeah,
he comes into this one. They hand him his script pages, and it just says Walt with a couple of exclamation marks. He's like, okay, cool. I got this.
I forgot he was Mercutio. Yeah, he was great in that.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie. And Oz. I mean, he's just awesome.
Oh, Oz was great. Yeah.
And Oz. Oz was like one of the... I was like really cool in my early 20s and had HBO. That was like a cool thing back then.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched Oz, and I've been told that it doesn't really stand up. But
I've never seen it.
Harold Perrineau.
It doesn't stand up. That's interesting.
That's what
we were just talking about. Oh, we were just talking about restarting it. So I will report back on that.
But he was great in Sons of Anarchy.
I didn't know he was in that.
So I've never seen that. But I was a huge fan of Oz when it was on, which is funny that it's coming up, because next episode, is it? I don't know. I'm lost. I do everything out of order.
Mr. Echo.
Mr. Echo is coming up, who was also, you know, in Oz. And he was so fucking great. He was like my favorite character on the show.
Well, yeah. Watch it and let me know.
Yeah, we will. We're going to finish The Expanse first and then start Oz. So
cool.
In case anyone was wondering what our watching habits are, I'm gonna try to get us back on course.
Yeah.
Woo. Back on course. You can't make the same nautical joke twice. It's against the rules.
Yes, I can. It's all about delivery.
All right.
So back at the hatch, Locke reaches the bottom of the shaft. Good man. Emerges.
I wanted
just
to
sort
say
of
giggity, but I had coffee in my mouth, so I just whined. Sorry.
Any cream in that coffee?
Not yet.
So he emerges into a concrete hallway, and his shoes start squeaking, so he removes his shoes. Either that, or he was just being considerate because he is in somebody else's house, right?
And true.
Like, you take your shoes off if you don't know any better. He
but
passes
there's puddles.
Some...
His socks are going to get wet. Oh, I hate wet socks on my feet.
Yeah, that's gross. That's a good way to get fungus.
And it just feels fucking nasty.
It does feel nasty.
I've spent several like music festivals in like soggy socks and sneakers.
Yeah, yeah.
That never works out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So back to Locke. He passes some equipment and an electrical box on the wall that says Dharma. The next one says Greg. You know you're headed for something awful.
Oh, no. God.
And then he enters what kind of looks like a living area, and he hears Kate whimpering and finds her kind of on the floor. What a dream. And then Desmond comes up behind him with an AK-47 and asks Locke, are you him? Asks him that multiple times. We jump back to the raft, and Sawyer is yelling for Jin. And then Mike starts to bitch at Sawyer, saying that Sawyer made him fire the flare. And then they start arguing about whose fault it is.
Yeah, like he really comes on strong, trying to make him feel guilty. And I guess maybe in his grief, he's looking for somewhere to put
that.
He's
just,
like, chill out, dude.
Yeah.
It's not Sawyer's fault.
Yeah, he was very angry at Sawyer.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't like that.
Yeah. I think all of us have experienced, you know, anxiety or tension about things, and we've been around somebody that is not, doesn't deserve it, and we just go off on those people. I imagine this is a little bit more when you're stuck on a raft out in the middle of the nowhere and your son gets taken away by a bunch of people in a and then they blow your boat up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying right. I feel for Mike's, and I understand.
How did we get in the situation where I'm being harder on Michael than you?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
So then Mike basically tells Sawyer to get off his raft, and then something bumps the raft from underneath, and then kind of pull back, and you see what looks like a shark swimming underneath him. And
they're
then Mike
need a bigger boat.
They're going to need a bigger boat, exactly. Then Mike tells Sawyer the gun's no longer going to work, I guess because it was wet or something, and then the raft gets bumped again, and then Sawyer starts to like drop some shells or something into the water, and Mike says to Sawyer that the shark is circling because of his shoulder was bleeding, because he was shot in the last episode. Or was it the last episode, or was it the last episode of season one?
Last episode of season one.
Right. And
that's right.
Yeah. Like technically that's what I was talking about, how they play with time. It's like, it feels like we're so far into the show, but really we're just moments after the season finale of season one.
To be fair, it's been a while since we've recorded.
Well, there's that feeling too. But I just mean like time in the show, it's, you know, anywho.
Got it.
Fuck's sake. You guys, I'm going back to bed. This is dumb.
So, despite the shark doing circles around them, Sawyer jumps into the water and swims towards another small section of raft that was floating nearby. And then Sawyer kind of tells Michael that he was trying to save Walt. And this takes us to flashback two. We're in a law
just like
office.
Just right before the flashback, it just like this left me, the scene left me really sad how like in a moment of stress, they just fucking turned on each other. Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I want to be like, instead of supporting each other, and I get it that they're just like strangers in a plane crash, so I didn't know if they were going to...
Been together for 44 days.
Hug it out. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, they're the only people they have left in their lives. And they just like turned on each other. It just made me really sad. I don't know.
But I mean, the two of them are kind of like an odd couple, and so are Michael and Jen. And so I guess the
whole... Michael and Walt, for that matter.
Yeah, right.
The problem is Michael and everybody is an odd couple.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was going to call them an odd couple.
And we're
thruple,
back.
Odd thruple.
But if it's Walt the is an odd couple. Yeah, quadruple. I don't know.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
So
flashback, guys.
Flashback two. We're in a law office, and I swear this is the same law office that Claire was in earlier, like in season one. It looks like the same set.
It does look really suspiciously similar, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if they just put him in the same one and said, hey, you know, this is another one of those weird things.
Well, it also shouldn't surprise you if it was the exact same room since all of their lives are intertwined.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and from a set design perspective, just reuse the damn thing.
Yeah, but one's in New York and one's in Australia.
Yeah, they both
have
books.
So you just, like, flip it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's lawyers arrayed all around the table, as well as our favorite mother, Susan.
Oh, that's fucking bitch. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the lawyer immediately starts laying into Michael, asks him how long it's been since he's seen his son. And then before he can even answer, tells him it's been 14 months, asks him why it's so long, and then asks him why Susan can take Walt to Amsterdam, but not Rome. Mike, after all these questions, starts to get angry, and then they kind of launch into Mike's accident and then point out that Susan paid for all of it, obviously out of the goodness of her heart. Her
you see
black,
what I'm saying? This was all her plan from the beginning. This woman is like a master manipulator, psychopath. Yeah. Fuck her. I hate her.
She chose a good profession then.
Yeah.
Well.
Then she asks what Walt's first words were.
Oh, it's so fucking mean.
Yeah.
This attorney, though, the actress is in one of my favorite episodes of Criminal Minds.
Everybody plays... is in an episode of Criminal Minds. There's so many fucking episodes of that show.
But she plays a woman on death row that, like, Mandy Patinkin interrogates in the last moments of her life. It's very dramatic.
Oh, that's right. I saw that episode.
I know. I have it on the TV all the time.
Well, it was just within the last couple of weeks, but yeah.
Yeah, I force Ben to watch Criminal Minds and Family Guy over and over and over again.
Yeah. I know too much about both of those
Criminal
shows
Minds,
now.
The one with that unsub you were talking about?
Unsub, yeah. God.
Yeah, unsub.
Unsub
Caleb and
max.
I rewatch The Great British Baking Show over and over and over again.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, and then to break it up, we've started rewatching Ted Lasso over and over again too. So
yeah, we've been debating getting Apple TV. I told Ben it was really good. The episodes that I watched at your house, it's pretty good. Yeah.
I feel like we're gonna have to cancel like three or four of the other streaming services we only barely ever watch. So.
Well, because that's how they want it. Is there's like one thing on every goddamn platform that I want to watch.
Yeah. I was actually really glad when I thought The Mandalorian sucked. I was like, okay, I don't need to have this one anymore.
Oh, great. Now we just lost half our audience.
I didn't get it.
Ben saw it.
Ben and I were not pleased with that show. No, and we are
I got
in
to, like, the
minority.
Third episode and I was like, really? This is what people are raving about? This is dog shit. Anyhow,
I expect Jar Jar Binks to show up.
And Rogue One is underrated. Rogue One is like the best Star Wars movie to have come out.
The best Star Wars movie other than Empire Strikes Back. Like,
yeah, it's so good.
I'll just, you know, I'll stop there because people are right now are just like looking for they're going to dox my ass.
I was all just so I could say Susan's attorney was on Criminal Minds. I apologize.
God, we are. Yeah, we're seriously all over the place. Okay. On course, again, back to the raft. Sawyer is digging at his shoulder, trying to get the bullet out.
Yeah, that's awful.
Michael says he will need some help to get the bullet out. Sawyer just keeps digging away and screaming, and eventually just pulls the bullet out with his fingers and asks Mike for a Band-Aid.
Yeah, he did. You got a Band-Aid? Yeah. Oh, my God. Sawyer cannot help himself. There. Even after digging a bullet out of his own shoulder, he's just got to be a snarky fuck.
Then back in the hatch again, Desmond asks Locke, are you him? And this time Locke says, yes. And Desmond asks who Kate is. And Locke just says, she's with me.
Can we talk about how sexy Desmond is, though, for just like a second?
Yeah.
Even when he's all like disheveled and freaking out and... like, he's just sexy. That's
whatever
all I got.
You say, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So then Desmond asks Locke, what did one snowman say to the other snowman? Locke doesn't know. So Desmond.
Does anybody know? Is that like a joke? I never looked
at it. Yeah.
Keep going, Ben.
No clue. So he doesn't answer. So Desmond asks him to drop the knife. And asks why they're there. Locke tells him about, you know, 44 days ago, they were in a plane crash, and Desmond's eyes kind of, you can see that when he says 44 days, it sort of rings a bell with him.
It smells like carrots out here.
Yes, because their nose.
Yes, I see.
There you go.
And then Desmond walks them at gunpoint and asks Kate to tie up Locke. Locke tells Desmond that Kate's a fugitive and that he works for a cardboard company, and Desmond starts to call him Boxman.
He's like,
I mean,
fuck,
as far
bro?
As nicknames go, Boxman's not bad, right? Sort of like
I mean,
Poon
yeah,
Hound,
I mean,
like,
it sounds kind of dirty.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Boxman.
Likes the box.
So then Locke ties Kate up and pushes her into a dark closet. I said earlier that he asked Kate to tie Locke up, but it was the opposite. He asked Locke to tie Kate up. So he does so and then pushes her in the closet.
I think that he asked Kate to tie Locke up and then
Locke convinced
Locke was
him
like,
otherwise.
No, she's dangerous, not me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what the fugitive thing was about. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you forgot he slipped something into her pants. Like a knife or something.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. He does give her a knife. Yeah, it's all like a ruse, his dickishness.
So
then we go to another minor flashback in the caves, where Jack tells Hurley he changed his mind and that he's going to the hatch. So this was, I guess, some type kind of mid episode, last episode of the last season. And it cuts over to Charlie, Claire, and Aaron. And Claire asks Charlie what's going on. And Charlie says that Jack is off to be heroic.
And then, he said, I reckon he's going to do something heroic.
Reckon.
Kind of funny. So
Claire points out that Charlie, when he's dodging questions, tries to be funny. And she's, I don't know, going through a bag or something like that. She pulls out one of the Virgin Marys. And I guess she asks him about it. Charlie starts to get anxious. And as he's like answering questions to her or whatever, he starts to like scratch his nose as he looks at the statue. And ends up kind of just telling her, hey, it's a nice thing to have around.
Well, he says played, it might well come played. In handy.
Again, yeah.
I guess for painkilling. That's not what he means, but.
No, man. He's like, I know where all these things are, man. I'm going to be chasing the dragon for the rest of my life. then we're back on the raft again, and Sawyer tells Mike that it wasn't the flare that attracted they didn't come to their boat because of the flare.
They did, but what he means is like, they were coming anyway.
They were coming anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says that the boat was not meant for open ocean. It was short range, and therefore it had to leave from somewhere close to the island. You know, and I looked this up, there was actually a word for that. And I don't know if it's littoral or literal, but like,
well, literal. It means
like littoral. It means something like within the proximity of the shoreline or like the,
Literal zone. It says,
yeah, the literal zone.
Yeah. The literal zone is the near shore area from the high water line to where the sunlight penetrates to the sediments in a water body.
There you go. Yeah.
Penetrates.
Jesus. He's just like, you're just waiting for words like that.
Yep.
That's funny. And then basically says that, you know, Danielle said that the others were coming and we thought it was for Aaron, but it was for Walt.
He said Bluebeard blew us up because they wanted your kid.
Yeah. Bluebeard.
Bluebeard is, I mean, it's not even as funny as what his fucking name ends up being, but we'll get there.
So they argue about that as well. And then Mike ends up wrecking Sawyer's raft. And so Sawyer has to jump back onto Mike's raft. And then Michael says to Sawyer that you have no idea what it's like to have to care for somebody.
Ouch.
I think it's sort of rich coming from Michael. It's not like he's had a wealth of experience in this regard either.
Yeah.
I don't know. So flashback three, back to the law offices where Mike's in a room with Susan with no lawyers present.
He's there to be manipulated once again.
Yeah, seriously. This woman's
got him cornered and alone.
She is a cunt.
Strike. Oh, she's so bad.
Susan says to him, confides in him or whatever, that she thinks he's going to win.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
And she asks Mike why. And Mike says, you know, she asks him, why do you want him? And he's like, well, he's my son. And she starts to tell him, like, look, I've got a baller job. You're unemployed. You need to take care of yourself and start painting again. You're a brilliant artist, kind of buttering him up.
She's love bombing him. It's ridiculous. Yeah. She's awful. You know,
how can you do that and take care of your son? And then asks Michael to let Walt go. I'm going to make an observation here. This is something that we saw last episode in the last season as well. The writers in this series seem to say that, like, in order for they make men make the choice between fatherdom and being painters.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it happens more than once. Yeah.
Like, you either, here's your fatherly duties, here's some watercolors. Take it, you know, just pick which one you want.
It's kind of, I mean, it kind of is sucks too, because it paints this light that, like, artistic. Oh, I didn't even mean to.
Oh, man. Ben's rubbing off.
Yeah, probably. I've been hanging around him for almost a decade. I can't help it anymore.
Poor thing.
Anyway, it sort of plays into this idea that, like, a career in the arts isn't worth it, which is not true and unfair. Yeah. But
seriously,
this, I mean, the show plays into a lot of stereotypes. Yeah. Let's be real. So. Yeah,
true, true. I mean, we're making art here, and we are making mad shekels. We all know this.
Oh yeah, sure.
So. I didn't get that memo.
This is an expensive hobby.
It really is. Yeah. So then we're back in the present or whatever, not in the distant past. And Kate is lying in a dark room, panting. Yummy.
I like the notes. It says Kate is wiggling her body. And it's about to get
there. She did wiggle a lot in the. Wiggle. The way you said panting was creepy.
Was it?
Yeah. Panting. Yes, it was.
Annie. So she's trying to get out of the restraints. Finally does. She pulls the knife from under her belt that Locke planted there. Cuts the bonds on her wrists. She finds a light, and when she turns around, she finds that she's basically in a pantry, a full, like a full stock walk-in.
Hello.
I know. So she sees an AC duct and tries to open it, and then she also, while she's doing this, she sees a big old thing of candy bars, and then she grabs one of those, eats it, and then makes her way up into the
candy AC bars. Duct.
Yeah. God bless preservatives.
Yep.
So now we cut to Locke and Desmond, and Locke is telling him about the flight and says that, you know, Desmond says, so you were flying from Sydney to LA, and then remarks kind of in wonderment, so the world is still out there.
Right. Yeah.
Locke he had, asks,
you know,
his name.
Quarantine on the door and whatnot. So
yeah, he was under the impression
to not know that the world is out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I always kind of thought this was a little bit funny. I was like, well, if you thought the world was destroyed, then what were you doing?
Yeah. Why are you still putting the numbers in?
Yeah. At that point, don't you just go say, like, oh, fuck it. Chips are down. Like, let's see what happens if I don't press this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Locke asks his name. He says it's Desmond. Desmond asks how many survivors there were, and Locke says 43, but some of them had left on a raft. Desmond keeps questioning and asks how many of them had gotten sick, and Locke says nobody. And then you hear that beeping start again. Desmond,
but this is interesting because, like, we know he has the quarantine thing, and then he asks about how many people were sick, but he's not the only person to mention sick people on this island.
Yeah,
One of them is Danielle, who was on the outside. So
that's why she killed her crew.
Yeah. So at this point, like, we don't really know if there
she
is something.
Her crew because she's fucking crazy.
Well, maybe cray. We don't know that either. I guess
they were sick.
Yeah.
No, she cray.
Yeah.
Whether or not she's telling the truth,
can
she
be
cray.
True.
That's
both
true.
Both can be true.
Yep. So yeah, you hear that beeping, and then Desmond walks John over to a room, and then you see this counter on the wall kind of ticking down. And at gunpoint, he tells John to type in these numbers on the console. And Locke asks Desmond, is like, what's going to happen? When Locke hits the execute button on the computer, the beeping stops, and then the counter resets to 108. Then you can hear Jack calling for Kate. Desmond gets the crazy look in his eyes again and asks Locke who that is. And Locke just says, that would be Jack. So Desmond starts looking through his periscope or whatever the hell he's got going on there, where he can see down all the hallways and everything. And Locke says that Jack is a doctor, but then Desmond notices that he has a gun, or that Jack has a gun. And so Desmond,
and your doctor has a gun, brother.
Yeah, say it in his accent, though, Ben. Yeah. You're best at
No, I haven't worked enough on his accent to try it yet. I'll do it. I'll do it at some point.
You've done it a million times. I don't even know what they're talking about. You don't want to do it on command is what it is.
No, I need to, it takes a little while to get an accent down. Like, it's got a Scottish accent for sure, but he's got some weird inflections that I've never, like, I can do all the shit out
you
of,
you literally
like,
did it already
Braveheart.
In this episode. You realize
no,
that,
I
right?
just said Brilda, like, that was,
no, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So,
I love you. Always
I
have.
Love you too.
I was doing Braveheart.
Ew, Mel Gibson.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, babe.
Got any special occasions coming up that you need a card for?
Is this a trick question?
No, it's an advertisement.
Is this about barbcards.com again?
Bingo.
So I suppose you're going to remind me that each handmade card is only $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come with busy backgrounds or flowery poetry?
You got it. Barbcards.com offers to-the-point communication within several different categories, including our favorite, potty mouth. And if you can't find what you want, barbcards.com can do customizations.
Can I still get all of my cards for no more than $4 shipping, no matter the size of the order?
You know it. Barbcards.com has got all you need. Hey, Ben.
Oh, my God. What are we selling now?
Merch.
Our merch?
Yes, sir. Shirts, coffee mugs, wine tumblers, bottle openers, stickers, magnets, and more. Your choice of product. And your choice of Space Bear Media graphic from any of our podcasts.
Please tell me we're not making merch now, too.
Of course not. We'll stick to podcasts and Pixis products will do the rest.
Thank God. I bet you have more to say, though.
Sure do. Pixis Products is a small business run by a local mom, well, local to us anyway, who needed something else to do besides being a snack bitch.
A what?
A snack bitch, also known as a mom with a young child.
There's still more, isn't there?
Yippers! Pixis Products works with other small businesses for supplies, art, and other collaborations at every opportunity, including ours. In fact, Pixis Products even gave Space Bear Media our own storefront on their site. You can find us at shopspacebear.com.
Say what?
You heard me. Go to shopspacebear.com and buy something.
Okay, we are really scattered this morning. This is really great. So then Desmond walks over to the turntable and just cranks up the Mamas and the Papas again. Kate is screaming for Jack at this point, but he cannot hear her over the sound of all of the, was it the 60s, early 70s music?
Mamas and the Papas? Yeah, late 60s. Early 70s?
Late 70s? No, I think it was late 60s, early 70s, right? They were.
That's what I just said. Late 60s, I thought you said early 70s.
Yeah. And Desmond and Jack, well, Jack kind of shows up there, and then Desmond and Jack have a kind of a Mexican standoff with Desmond's gun at Locke's head.
Jack asks Locke. Standoff? Is that a thing?
When you guns pointed at each other.
No, is it like a racist thing? Are you sure it's not?
No, it's just a term.
It's just a term.
It just sounds
and saying Mexican isn't racist.
1968.
Mexican is a person from Mexico.
Yes.
We're having two different conversations right now.
It's a confrontation in which no strategy exists that allows any party to achieve victory.
Oh, you looked. There you go. Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, so, cool. I'm just trying to be careful. You know, that's, I've learned as I've gotten older, there's language that I thought was just common that turned out to be horrifically racist. So,
yep.
I wouldn't have said that if it were racist.
Well, I know intentionally, but if I didn't know, there was a chance you didn't know either. That's what I was getting at. Not accusing you of being a racist.
Yeah. Plus, I know all. So,
okay, let's go.
Figured that would get you back on course. So Desmond says, "Stop or I'll blow his head off, brother." And then because he says that, obviously Jack recognizes him from their days running up and down stairs. And Jack just says, "You." And back on the raft,
Seen that like scene three times now already.
Yeah. It's a good scene though.
Like it's a great scene because it's like means a lot.
Worlds colliding. Yeah. So yeah, back on the raft, Sawyer sees one of the pontoons from the raft when it was actually a raft, and starts swimming toward it. And as he does that, the raft that they were on starts to break up and you see the shark circling again. So Sawyer gives Michael the gun and says to shoot the shark if you see it. That's actually kind of hard to say.
shoot the shark. Shoot the
shark if you see it.
Shark.
Yeah. So while he does this, Sawyer starts swimming, doing a very, very like full free stroke for having been shot in the fucking shoulder. Like he seems to not be bothered too much by this. And then Michael starts to fire. You see some blood come up, but you can't really tell where from. And then Michael swims, also reaches the pontoon. And there's Sawyer. So obviously, well, you don't know that he didn't hit Sawyer, but you can assume that he didn't hit Sawyer.
He seems to like be genuinely upset. Like Michael, like the truth is he actually cares about Sawyer in some way.
Yeah. Yeah,
he stopped screaming for Walt and started screaming for Sawyer.
That's
true.
And then we come to the final flashback. Michael is sitting in a park chair with his cane and a gift bag. The cunt shows up with a young Walt. The cunt. And then Michael starts to kind of like introduce himself, and he says, "I'm your." Says that a few times, but he can't really get the word father out. So he pulls a white plush bear out of the bag and asks Susan, "Does he like bears?" Mike says to Walt that they're not going to see each other for a while, but he hopes that Walt has a great life and that Susan and Brian will take care of him.
Cute little kid.
He is a cute kid. And he says, "No matter where you go, your daddy loves you a lot. He always will." Susan starts to tear up, which I think is totally fake because she's a fucking sociopath. She has no feelings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And and they say goodbye. We come back to the raft. The sun is coming up and Michael is, crying. Sawyer asks him if he's all right. And Mike says he should have never taken Walt on the raft. I'm going to get him back.
I mean, that's as astute as Shannon saying she never should have gone on that hike.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Captain Hindsight.
So Sawyer looks off into the distance and then all of a sudden there's the island like right there. It's kind of big. I'm not sure how they missed it before that because the sun's not exactly low on the horizon, but, they make obviously the currents had caught them and kind of brought them back to the island.
They were in the literal zone.
Next, scene, they show up on the shore. And then they can hear Jin like somewhere. They can't see him, but then all of a sudden he emerges. He's got his hands tied behind his back. And as he's running up to them, he falls down. He starts saying "Utters, Utters, Utters," which we soon find out means others, as we see silhouettes of what we assume to be the others carrying or walking towards them, carrying weapons. And then title screen, that's the end of the episode.
I missed something there, or I wanted to say something about when they first see the island, as stupid as that is, that they didn't notice it. Sawyer actually says, "We're home."
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he does. Wow. And I thought like, oh, yikes.
Yeah.
But that ending is pretty fucking awesome and terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool shot. I like the way they did the silhouetting and everything. You can't really see them, but you can just see the outlines and like crude weapons and everything. It's definitely a Very kind of menacing.
You can see a gigantic man holding a club, who we mentioned earlier played
I'm
Adebisi.
I'm so excited for that.
On Oz.
For
what? The next
for
episode?
For Mr. Echo.
Oh, for Echo. Mr. Echo and his story.
Yeah. Echo.
All right. So, fun facts. As mentioned earlier, while arguing with Michael, Sawyer says Bluebeard stole or it blew us up because they wanted your kid. So I looked up who was Bluebeard the pirate. Guess what I found out? There's no such thing as Bluebeard the pirate.
I've heard of Blackbeard.
I've heard of One-Eyed Willie.
Well, yes.
Yeah, me too.
As have I. People.
Yeah, he's
say
at the Black Rock.
It's kind of similar, like when they first go exploring through
totally
the Black
is.
Rock and like crawling through the holes. That's exactly how like it, they did it. One-Eyed Willie and found.
I know I had One-Eyed Willie jokes written in there. That would be awesome. That's what this show fucking needs is Sloth. Get rid of Michael. Bring in Sloth.
Oh my
gosh. Ruth.
They got candy bars for him right now. He'd have to have Apollo bars, but, you know, he'd probably get down on those.
Apollo bar?
Bring in Sloth, he says. Like, the show hasn't been over for almost 20 years.
Yeah, well, they always like to do remakes.
Yep.
Well, that well just, why don't that, you... Now that just happened in some alternate universe, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, you should write another letter, I guess. All right, guys. Can I continue with the fun fact?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Bluebeard is not a pirate, but he is often invoked as one because of the pirate Blackbeard.
Blackbeard.
Bluebeard ain't a pirate, but he loved that booty.
I don't know what the fuck is going on today.
The dreaded pirate Robert.
Dread pirate. Come on.
Yarr.
Don't get it twisted.
Oh my God. Bluebeard is a French folktale, the most famous surviving version of which was written by Charles Perrault and first published by Barbin, whatever that is, in Paris in 1697. So the story goes like this. This is I don't know if this is indicative of French folktales, but it's pretty fucking dark. So Bluebeard is like a wealthy...
Bluebeard.
What did I say?
You said Bluebeard this time. Jesus.
I'm having like a booth moment where I just
booth beard.
I can't say it right. Holy shit, you guys. Okay. Bluebeard is a nobleman who is married several times to very beautiful women and they've all like mysteriously vanished. So he visits his neighbor and asks to marry one of his daughters, and all of the girls are like terrified. But finally, the youngest daughter agrees to be his wife, and she goes to live with him. Well, he announces he has to leave for the country, gives her the keys to the chateau, and tells her that she can open any door in the house except for this one. So obviously, the second he leaves, that's the one door she wants to open, duh.
Sure.
Well... She brings her sister over and they get into the room and she discovers it's completely flooded with blood and the murdered corpses of all of his former wives hanging on hooks from the wall. She is horrified and drops the key in the blood, flees the room, remembers, goes back to get the key, but it's a magic key that you can't wash blood off of. How that comes into the plot, I don't fucking know. So he comes back and finds the bloody key, knows that she knows, she tries to kill her, but she and her sister gang up on them and kill him and put him in the room and then inherit his fortune and his castle and lives happily ever after. And that's who Bluebeard is.
Huh.
It's a psychotic little story, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had a lot of those back then.
Thanks for that tidbit.
Yeah.
Life was really screwed up during those years, that time period.
Feels like a Black Mirror episode. Except it would have to have a cell phone in it. But you add cell phones to that, that's a Black Mirror episode.
I don't know. Do they have psycho killers in Black Mirror? It's usually just like fucked up social issues.
Yeah.
It's a great series, though.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I really love the episode with Miley Cyrus, which is weird, but it's
I haven't seen any of it.
That's the one I haven't seen.
It was the last season. It's really good. You would like it, Christy.
Okay.
I think.
I can only watch like one episode at a time, though, man. It's like so dystopian. I just get like disillusioned. I'm like, oh, the world sucks. And
that's kind of how I feel about... Because
reality is so much better, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about The Morning Show, which is also on Apple. It got real dark in one episode, and I couldn't revisit it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So...
That's how I am with Handmaid's Tale. I have to be emotionally prepared to watch that show.
I watched the first season and I'm good.
Is it only on Hulu?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm working through season.
I think they should just call that show Serotonin Crash because that's what it fucking feels like when you watch it.
Go for it.
I'm working through season three, but it's been hard to watch it during COVID because like everything else is already depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anybody want to talk about their best and worst moments?
Kate wiggling around was pretty great.
That's true.
And the worst moment or like the most terrifying moment is at the end when the others show up or what we think is the others.
Well, yeah. Right. So for me, my best moment was when Desmond reads off the code to put in the computer, because that's the first time he says the numbers. Now, we know it was on the outside, but it's just more application of these numbers. And mm-hmm. so you're kind of like, what? And I had the worst moment. I also had the others like kind of coming over that little hill on the beach there. And I did have a close second of the bullet pulling out of the shoulder.
Oh my God. That was terrible.
Pretty gross. How about you, Ben?
My favorite scene was actually when the, when you see the others, cause it's just like, ooh, mm-hmm. you know, there's new blood and it's kind of exciting. So,
oh, it was a great scene. It was just like a scary moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt overall this episode was a little slower. So it was nice to kind of get that jolt at the end of it. Mm-hmm. My least favorite scene was basically anything with Susan in it, but probably the one I hated most was when she's saying like, hey, you should get back to your painting and all that type of stuff. Cause I'm like, oh, you so conniving little bitch. Like, yeah, she makes me want to break her nose.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. I feel strongly about that.
I guess she's a good actress.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in 8 years she's going to die. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. The best moment,
best and worst,
is the same as Lacey's whenever they're putting the numbers in the computer. And in the 108 minutes is, of course, the numbers all added together. You add them up. It goes to 108.
I wonder how many people got into numerology because of this show.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, because I was wondering, why did they choose 108? So I was like, let me add these numbers up. Ah, there it is.
Oh, there see. It is. Derek, you'd be successful on the island, I guess.
And the worst moment for me was when Michael sees Walt for the last time. You know, so it was just really sad knowing that he was not going to see him for, 8 years at least?
Yeah. Oh, you mean in the park?
Yeah, in the park. Yeah.
Not when he was stolen. Not in
the, right.
Okay.
Yeah, when he was a toddler.
Pretty heartbreaking scene there.
Yeah, it was
with
sad. Like
bitch standing there.
Even at that point, he was like, or Walt was not... He didn't know him, you know. He's like,
no, he wasn't really aware. He was just kind of fidgeting,
and he was like kind of wrapped around his mom's leg, and you know, right. just sort of like, what is this shit? While Michael was trying to tell him that he'll always love him, it was sad. Yeah,
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you guys to answer it honestly.
Okay,
would this scene be as heartbreaking if the child were ugly?
What?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Would it? What? Would it really be?
Yeah,
if the absolutely. Child were ugly so much to the point that you saw the child and you were like, oh, yikes.
Look,
if you look like sloth, maybe, you know, but.
Oh my God.
Going to hell.
person who has children that are, well, I mean, when they were little, they were definitely fucking ugly. Like I showed one of their
babies are ugly.
No, but not a, like I'm talking toddler. Like I showed a picture to a friend of mine and she was like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? And there's nothing wrong with him. He just came from interesting looking stock on both sides.
Oh my God, what is happening right now?
Are they related? Yeah.
No. he's just an ugly kid and his little brother and very cute either. So, you know, imagining this kid in the situation, yeah, it would still be sad. You know, I'm never going to see my ugly kid again.
Sad?
Yeah.
I cannot believe we're debating ugly children. What the fuck is going on?
Well, we got a little time to fill here. You know, we're trying to keep these shows at a reasonable length. So,
No, we do not have time. We're long, actually.
Long.
I knew it. Holy fuck. Ben, what are your best and worst characters?
My best character was fucking kill. Sawyer, actually. I mean, he was basically like Michael's punching bag for the entire fucking episode. He had to, you know, dig a bullet out of his shoulder, yet through all of it, he kind of, you know, he was kind of a stand-up dude despite everything that was happening. Least favorite, I mean, obviously, Susan.
Yeah, that bitch is going down.
Cast her into the pits of hell.
Jesus. All right.
If I had the power to do that, I would, obviously. I don't. Yeah.
So who are you fucking and killing?
Well, I'm fucking Kate. You know, a little wiggling on the floor there. And, you know, that was...
Yeah, I have a feeling that's Derek's answer, too.
Wasn't she the only woman in the episode that wasn't Susan or Susan's lawyer?
Yeah. Oh, no, we saw... We saw Claire briefly.
Yeah, that's true. Caves. I mean... Yeah, so it's sort of a shallow and brackish pool this week, but Kate, absolutely. And then who would I kill? I mean, I'm gonna kill Susan.
Yeah, she's gonna be at the bottom. She always is. She's fucking awful.
She's awful.
How about Derek? What are your rankings this week?
My best character was Michael. Just, you know, in the flashbacks, he was trying to fight for his son, and also, you know, just how he's changed. And then the worst, of course, is Susan.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, she gets stuff.
Yeah.
Susan and Shannon.
Yep. I think Susan's going to be worse than Shannon now, or lower.
I would think so,
be Kate, you know, wiggling Kate, as you called her. And I'm going to kill the others just because, you know, you see Jen coming out all tied up and bloody, and they're obviously not very good people.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe he's just into some rough play, you know?
That's true. They want rope play.
Exactly. Rope play, a little bit of little fucking and punching, you know?
Yep.
Weird shit people get up to on the island.
They're stranded for 44 days.
Whew, all right, I'm doing mine. I had Locke as the best character. I thought he was handling Desmond fairly well, and, you know, arming Kate and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, Susan is the worst character, and I killed her. Fuck that manipulative bitch. I know she's dead. I'll kill her as many times as I can. And then I am I am fucking the room full of food.
After 44 days, I think that just about anybody would be willing to slather themselves in ranch dressing.
Yeah, I've been on that island.
Initiative ranch dressing.
Do they have any jars of full dill pickles in there?
Oh, God. I don't think that's Christy, healthy. Is this
that kid? You just sent that picture in the chat. That's the kid. Oh, my
God. Oh, no. I've got to see this.
Hold on. Wait, what?
In the lost chat, she sent a picture of the ugly kid.
A picture of an ugly kid.
I sure as hell did. No.
Okay, all right.
I can't.
Oh, wow. Oh, my
God. She wasn't lying.
Poor thing. Bless his heart.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Look at that baby.
Jesus. That's the stuff of nightmares.
I was an ugly fucking kid.
Fuck.
I feel so bad for him.
Oh my God.
I can't. What is happening right now? Oh my God. I can't even see.
I know. I'm crying over here. Oh my
God. God, I so wish we could sync that. I know there's so many reasons why we couldn't do this, but I wish within the podcast episode we could sync that and bring that picture up so we could see it.
Behold.
Behold.
Oh my God.
My Lord. Whoa.
Oh my God.
You know, the thing is kids probably gonna grow up and be like handsome and even be a good looking person, but my Lord. Just get it off your screen, Lacey. Get it off your screen. Yeah. As long as you look at it, it's gonna make you laugh.
Oh no, I put that down. I couldn't bear it for more than a second. that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Oh, oh my God. Wow.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Okay, where were we? we're doing our summaries now, Lacey?
No, it's Christy's power rankings. Oh, okay. Okay. Derek's got it out of the
Oh. Oh my God.
This is so fucked up.
Are you still looking at it?
No, I was.
Well, I had it on my camera for a little bit so she could see it.
He held it up to the screen.
Okay, it's gone.
See, I'm not looking at any of you right now. I've got to stop laughing, so I got to like.
Okay. My top is Michael because he even though he's really fucking annoying.
Michael's your top.
Your top.
Yeah. I'm still
wait till I find a picture of his baby brother.
Oh Jesus!
No. Oh my God!
Does he have lizard scales?
No. Okay. Yeah. No. My bottom is the others just because they're scary as shit. I'm gonna fight. Fuck Kate. That wiggle was nice.
See, I'll take a little bit of wiggle, and we're slut. Yep. We're wiggle sluts.
Yeah,
three of you got taken by
and
the
then
wiggles.
I'm gonna kill the others.
Oh, kill the others. You don't find out what happens. I mean,
I know. It's just
but from that. Well, all right. Oh my God, Ben, can you update us on what the power rankings look like? Oh my God.
See if I can collect myself. Yes. All right. After that episode, we have Kate climbing into first position, probably mostly because of the wiggle. She just almost doubled her point total from last week just from wiggling.
Just from wiggling.
Just a little bit.
Oh, and God. Then,
yeah. Thank you. Yeah, if you're a younger listener, which face it, nobody's going to be a younger listener, but.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah. That was a song in the 90s.
Jack is in second place, and lo and behold, Michael is in the top three.
Wow.
Definitely for the first time ever.
Yes.
He was a bottom dweller most of last season.
Yeah.
And only kind of raised in the rankings a little bit by virtue of Shannon and Ethan. So, right. Yeah. So we have Susan streaking out. She is way at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. And then behind her is Kevin. And then the others in third place. Third to last place.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have we not seen Shannon yet this season?
No.
She was in second to last place last week, but she wasn't in this
Lacey,
one.
Yeah, Lacey, you killed her last episode.
Yeah, you killed her last episode.
Well, fuck. We can't take breaks anymore. I forget everything so much. Ben, why don't you give us your final impressions, too?
Yeah, I mean, this episode was, I felt it was sort of a holding action. It didn't, I mean, it was a little bit slow. And I felt like the flashbacks were, you know, I get it. They're trying to make Mike's desperation to finding his son more vivid. But my utter distaste for his character to date and then my absolute hatred of his wife, just, I don't know. It didn't really tug my heartstrings nearly as much. And then the rest of the episode was honestly like, it was just sort of a re-encapsulation or different perspectives of essentially the same thing we had seen before. So I was not a huge fan of this episode. I think there's, knowing what other episodes are out there, there are way stronger episodes, but, you know, it served its purpose.
All right. See, I enjoyed, the way that they kind of ran this episode concurrent to the first, so you could experience, everybody's point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. The thing about this episode with Michael's flashbacks is sort of like, I felt like we just sort of relived the scenes in the hospital with her manipulating him, but now it was in an attorney's or a conference room or whatever. There wasn't a ton more to his story. I feel the same way. And I mean, mostly it just leaves me with the feeling of like, oh my God, who are these people on the beach? I want to know what that is. That's where my head goes at the end of this episode. So, yeah. Christy, how about you?
Yeah, I pretty much concur with a lot of that. This not a great episode, most likely because we have already seen most of this, except for the, you know, giant room of food. That was exciting. And then, yeah, I'm with you, Lacey. Seeing the others on the beach, the way they did it, where they're kind of backlit, so you can't really see much of their features and everything. They definitely
But they look dangerous.
People, exactly. I mean, they're holding clubs and shit. Yeah. And, you know, they definitely are terrifying looking. So this episode leaves me like begging for, you know, more. How do I learn more about it? So that's
right.
That's probably the best thing I have to say about this.
All right. Well, speaking of learning more, Derek, what were your final impressions? And then what questions do you have?
Yeah, overall, it was a decent episode. I mean, it did kind of get slow in areas, but we did learn, you know, how Michael lost Walt to that bitch Susan, and that the numbers, you know, more significance with the numbers of, you know, putting in the computer every 108 minutes to stop some sort of countdown. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the ending was really good. And if that leads to my biggest question is, who are the people, the others, that have Jin hostage?
Mm-hmm. All right. That is something you will definitely know shortly. But I don't think it happens next week. Next week, season 2, episode 3, it is called Orientation. It's a lock episode. Christy's going to give it to us. And I am very excited. Orientation is definitely a landmark episode. So we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Lost in My 40s is a Space Bear Media production. Executive produced and edited by me, Lacey J. Sound engineering, editing, and original music by Benjamin Trim. Like and follow Lost in My 40s on Facebook to interact with your hosts. Plus, follow Space Bear Media on YouTube to watch our episode pre-shows. You can also find us at SpaceBear_Media on Instagram and Twitter. Or come to our website, spacebearmedia.com.